Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:55 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is December 16th. And I thought we'd kick off with the value versus growth ratio because it's been trending lower for most of the last 11 years. And there's been a distinct loss of downside momentum over the course of the last 12 months. And we're potentially, at least, looking like a failed downside break. And it's been a long time since we've seen anything that even remotely looks like something like that. So we had the initial pop on the upside back in early 2021, and then it was completely reversed. And now we're seeing it pop back up again, and it's testing the region of the 200-day moving average. So it's just one more measure that is helping to outline that the growth dominance of the market is beginning to ebb. And we definitely had a very whipsaw environment on the NASDAQ today because it rebounded in pretty emphatic fashion yesterday and then gave up almost the entire advance in here today. So that's obviously off-putting, and I closed out my shorts yesterday because I was worried about basically a sell the rumor buy the news type of environment, and now I'm kind of sorry that I did that, and I feel like many people probably feel the same. So we're definitely in a more whipsaw-like environment, but I think it's still true, and I think particularly relevant to highlight the medium-term consistency of the NASDAQ's trend, because we have the sequence of ranges one above another, and we're right now in the region of the previous peak from back in September. And if the price fails here, never mind that it could potentially come back to the 200-day moving average, the bigger implication is that it would be a significant loss of uptrend consistency if we see it pulling back into the underlying range for more than a few days. So we're definitely touch and go here. And I think no share highlights that more than we have Amazon. So we had a really substantial upside key yesterday on Amazon, and that was almost completely unwound in here today. And the key to the key is size and then follow through. So we had the size, we have not had the follow through. Now, of course, this is a whippy environment, so we could see it rebound again tomorrow. But so far, there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that we're really in that kind of environment any longer, because one of the reasons why the market rebounded yesterday was because there weren't any surprises. So the Federal Reserve did what the market thought it would do, but then the full implications of what that means started to be incorporated into prices overnight. So the bond market doesn't really believe that the Federal Reserve is going to be able to raise rates three times next year. And the two-year yield came down by about 4 basis points in here today. Now, it's still a reasonably consistent advance overall, but it is starting to look like some trend deterioration. And we're at about 62 basis points. So there is the real possibility that what we're in fact going to see is something like one and done, and that there's unlikely to be a large number of interest rate hikes. And certainly the economy would have to be firing on all cylinders to justify that kind of environment. And if the bond market is pricing in the potential that the removal of liquidity and even one interest rate hike might have economic consequences, well, then the stock market is beginning to price that in as well. Now, one thing that I think is also particularly relevant here is that some of the online retail shares are also breaking lower. So eBay has failed in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's breaking downwards. Etsy, which had one of the bigger rebounds yesterday, has also pulled back in here today, and it's right in the region of the 200-day moving average right now. and Shopify, which has been touted as a competitor for Amazon, is now also trading below the trend mean. And I think it's also worth highlighting that it hasn't sustained a move below the 200-day moving average at any point in the last couple of years. So if it starts sustaining this move, and much less encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, well, then that's going to be a significant loss of uptrend consistency. The one piece of intelligence that I thought was interesting was in talking, ultimately, if China begins to open the monetary spigot, well, then it would take some pressure, or it would introduce pressure into the renminbi, and the dollar would likely start to trend higher against it. And the renminbi has been among the strongest currencies in the world over the last year. The dollar index was in negative territory in here today, and not least because we're starting to see some pricing in of the potential that Europe will begin to raise rates and that they may follow. And I suspect that they'll follow the UK with a good lot wide and lengthy interval. But the pound was a bit firmer today, and it looks like it's putting in a at least a short-term low, and that's following the 25 basis point interest rate hike. And Mexico also has seen the peso advance following a 50 basis point interest rate hike. So the Bank of Mexico is intervening to support the currency, and that's potentially beneficial for foreign investors. They should have then the potential for capital market and currency appreciation in the stock market, and the iShares MSCI Mexico ETF is bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, we are also starting to see some demand coming back in for gold. And gold prices were up $21 today. So on the weekly chart, it's quite clearly signaling a another bounce from the sequence of higher reaction lows, and the $1,700 area were, or $1,750 area, we're right in the region now of $1,800 again, and potentially pushing up out of this little short-term range. And investors have really had to have the patience of Job to hold on during what has been an extraordinarily choppy environment. And there is a tendency among some commentators to be extremely bullish when prices are high and extremely bearish when prices are low. But generally speaking, we know that gold is a volatile instrument. And when it surges on the upside, it's usually a time to start beginning to think about taking profits. And when it has been weak and consolidating at elevated levels for a lengthy period of time, well, more likely than not, it's that it's a precursor to a significant advance. So we've had failed upside breaks, and that has challenged the conviction of investors. But it's been incredibly steady over a period of time, which has been really very challenging. So we also started to see that gold shares have not sustained the move below $30 and were up in a dynamic manner in here today. So that continues to look like a first step above the base. Then silver prices have also rebounded off the short-term low, and it also looks like a first step above the base. So if we are in fact moving away from growth and towards value, well, gold shares are value, and gold itself is value. And we're in a condition where government deficits are unlikely to be closed in a very rapid fashion. And central banks are going to be inhibited from normalizing interest rates. And it suggests that we're going to remain in this type of stagflationary environment. And the continued upward pressure on UK natural gas prices, I think, brings that home in emphatic terms, because this is an energy crisis. And it's not an oil crisis, but an energy crisis, because natural gas is used for electricity generation and home heating. It's used for fertilizer production and carbon dioxide production, and it's forcing significant portions of the economy right across Europe into extreme difficulty. So this is an example of what stagflation looks like, that it's going to have an effect on growth. It's going to, and it's necessitating that central banks attempt to raise interest rates, but there's not a lot they can do when there's a supply of a vital commodity. And that's the kind of environment where gold does well. It does well when central banks are inhibited from following the kinds of policies required to get price controls under, or prices back under control. And I think that's just emblematic here of what we're seeing in the wider economy. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.